What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Debbie Royale YouTube channel. Today, we are talking 2024 quarterback landing spot predictions. There's a lot of change that's about to happen in the NFL. This is a great draft class for quarterbacks. And so there are a lot of teams that have to make decisions on what to do with their current quarterback. We're going to get into that today. Stick with us through the intro. We'll catch you on the other side. All right, the 2023 season is pretty much over. We're into the playoffs, obviously, and so now it's time to talk about the 2024 season and what could potentially happen in free agency, how this quarterback landscape is going to change. Let's just start with the no-brainers, Randy, because, I mean, there's a group of 10 teams that don't have to worry about any of this. So Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, and CJ Stroud are the ones that are no-brainers. I was interested because you kind of came up with this list. Do you think Brock Purdy is in the no-brainer discussion right now?
Right now, yeah. Because of his contract. It's a no-brainer. Okay. There's no point in trying to upgrade the position. It's just, let's just keep rolling. If he doesn't grow anymore, then the decision's kind of made for you because that's what they did before with Jimmy G, because I think he's at that level right now. Even though I think a lot of 49ers fans wouldn't like to hear that. It's just, He's costing them games. He's not winning games for them, but he's not losing most. It's only been like two games that he's costed them. So he's played well with that contract. He's locked in for at least another year or two. No question.
Yeah, I agree. I think the true question comes when it's time to extend him, which is a couple of years down the road. So, and then I kind of moved CJ Stroud up to the no-brainers. I think we've already seen enough. He's having a historic rookie season, and I don't think that we have to worry about that moving forward. But so we do also have some too early to tells, which is just two rookies that Anthony Richardson got hurt after a few games. I think he played him four games, left two of them. Bryce Young, obviously, we know what happened with the Carolina Panthers. The Bears are selecting first overall because of how bad that situation was. Randy, if you had to guess, so this is not about 2024 quarterback predictions here, but if you had to guess, do either of these guys get a second contract with their current team?
I would assume both. Just because we saw Bryce grow this year with no weapons around him and coaching changes and everything being chaotic and just not a good roster. And then Anthony Richardson, in the four games he played, we saw flashes of greatness. Honestly, a big step ahead from what he was in college as well. If that can continue to grow, he's going to know the playbook by heart going into next year. I think there could be some big things. I mean, this is a team that could have made the playoffs and probably would have with Anthony Richardson.
I agree with you there. Obviously staying healthy is important. Learning how to slide is important. I think that should be a key component of his offseason training, honestly. But yeah, I kind of agree. I think Bryce Young flashed. I'm still more concerned than I once was about Bryce Young, just simply because I don't know what their path forward is. Okay, we've got 12 locked in. We have 20 to talk about, but before we do that, just reminder, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/TheDebbieRoyale. We have combined Debbie Dynasty rankings over there. We have an awesome, super active Discord where we're talking NFL draft every day. We've got transfer portal stuff happening in there. We've got guides for you. There's a ton of stuff. Go check it out, patreon.com/TheDebbieRoyale. It's about $5 a month. $5 a month will get you all the stuff. You can join the Discord if you want for just $1 a month. So patreon.com/TheDebbieRoyale. Okay, decision time. There are 20 teams, really, that have a decision to make. Now, sometimes those decisions can be easy. Other times, we'll probably get into this quite a bit. So let's just get right into it. First one, Tua Tagovailoa. We're fresh off this playoff performance where it was clear what the tier of quarterback was on each team. So as you noted here, fifth year option used for 2024. Is this the current value from Spotrac?
Yeah.
So current market value is estimated at 6 years, $302 million, or 50 per year. Randy, do you think the Dolphins are going to go in that direction moving forward?
It's a tough – he's been really the catalyst to move this offense, obviously, as the quarterback. He's looked good all year in a cold-weather game at home and Arrowhead. He played bad. The whole team did, though. So at a certain point, we weren't expecting great things from him once we saw the weather, and that could be an issue moving forward, but – just got to keep winning games, getting home playoff games, and I think he can thrive. I mean, that's what Mahomes has done his whole career is he's gotten home playoff games. He looks good at home. So I think that's the thing. I don't know if they do this big six-year contract this year. And obviously the fifth-year option has been used for this next year, but most quarterbacks on the fifth-year options work to get an extension done before the season starts. I think Tua will be doing the same thing. I do think they might be able to get slight discount or a short-term deal as kind of like a keep. And with his injury history, this is his first healthy season. I think they might be able to get a little bit of a placeholder year or two in there to say to it, prove yourself, we'll give you 60, you know. But
yeah,
for now, we'll give you an extension of 40 for 2024 and 2025. And then we'll go from there. I think that's their best option just because to tie up all that money right now when you're not 100% and you can kind of delay it until Tyreek's contract is up when he says he's retiring, it'll be a good time to cash in on Tua and pay him the money he wants if he's earned it.
Big if. I think I had a tweet a little while ago, maybe a week or two ago, that said you know, I think he's more of a Daniel Jones extension instead of a Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert extension. And that's okay. I think that's a viable way to build a team and win. That said, I mean, Tua's flaws do limit what the ceiling is. Unless they are the number one seed, they get home playoff games, and then they play in a dome for the Super Bowl every single year. I don't know that he has the arm strength, but I do. Tua is a good quarterback. I think he's actually better than Daniel Jones. And so I don't see him getting all the way up to 50. I know the market changes every year, but I think it's more of like a 4 year, 43, 44 million per. You can front load it kind of like the Daniel Jones contract is structured, where it's really a 2 year commitment. I think that's the path forward for the Dolphins, because I can also make an argument that they could easily upgrade very soon in a Stafford McVay-esque way. I think Mike McDaniel could use a quarterback that can do some more things, but I think Tua is a good enough quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the way I have it, I mean, the Daniel Jones contract is now the baseline for starting quarterbacks. Like, no one's taking less than that. We don't got to worry. Even Baker, I'm assuming, is getting that contract for at least 1 year or two if they decide to keep him. But in terms of Tua, I think, like you said, going the Daniel Jones route of giving him the big contract he wants, but having an out after 2 years is the other option if they don't want to just, if they can't work out just a 2 year deal.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Next one on here, Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco. The Browns don't really have an option. So I would call this one a locked in only if, because they have to be with Deshaun Watson. They don't have an out. So
it's been proven that this team, even through injury, can make the playoffs with bad quarterback play. If he can't get it done next year, this is the last year the picks are being used. So if he can't get it done this year, it's time to move forward. I think you give him one more year. He hasn't had a full season in the last, what, 4 or 5 seasons, it feels like. So one more shot, and then you have to eat the costs at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that team anymore. Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson. We know that the Broncos are moving on from Russell Wilson the next year, allegedly. Obviously, nothing is set in stone. You have here that they can save money if they trade post-June 1st. They're probably going to end up cutting him because teams know what the situation is, and I don't know. There might be some level of trade market. But what do you think the Broncos do to salvage their quarterback position? That's kind of where I want to go with this.
I honestly have no idea, because they're already below the salary cap. So they're already in the negative. And then this is just going to make it worse because they're paying him this money regardless this next year. The whole sitting out was to get away from the guarantee next year, so 2025. So this year they're screwed regardless. They're going to have to eat all that money this year with them being gone. There could be a, you know, Brock Osweiler type trade, ironically, being the Broncos. That's the only way I see him really traded, just because at a certain point you just cut him because you're not – it's not a huge cap savings trade via cut after June 1st, so – he's going to get cut because no one's going to trade more than the fourth or probably even the sixth for him just because the situation is so bad. Russell's looked good this year, not great, not his former self by far, but better than the year before. He's gone. I think they're in a weird spot where they probably don't. They're probably trying to find a quarterback in the second round. That's my point. So Bo Nix, Michael Penix, if they're – because – unless they think the quarterbacks they have right now are the answer, which they can't be, then they don't have the money really to sign anyone good.
See, I wouldn't be shocked if they went the J.J. McCarthy route because McCarthy's one that can throw with timing, anticipation, things like that, and things that Sean Payton looks for in a quarterback. So that's one, that's like the wild card, but I think Jarrett Stidham is probably their starter next year, which is kind of sad.
Which means you're full tanking for a year.
Yeah, to get Quinn Ewers. So that's kind of the state of the Broncos right now. Sorry about it. Las Vegas Raiders, Aiden O'Connell is their current starter. Ironically, I think they're probably comfortable with that moving forward. I think he did enough that if they have to run it back with him, I think that that's a way that they can win. However, I think they're definitely looking to upgrade. I think they're going to get aggressive here. In my first mock draft and my mock draft that we talked about on this channel last week, I had them trading up for Caleb Williams. Do you see them doing something crazy like that?
Yeah, I think it's a very clear possibility. It sounds like it's going to be Antonio Pierce or Exodus. So I would assume Antonio Pierce is the head coach next year. Still waiting to hear on GM. And that kind of will give us some understanding. Just because we get to see GM tendencies. So if they get someone that's willing to wheel and deal, they might be trying to go up for one of the top three in this class. They are picking at 13, so they could quote unquote reach for like JJ McCarthy or Michael Penix there. They could try and trade back. That's kind of risky. They have enough cap that if stuff works out as we go down this list and there's someone available like a Kirk Cousins or someone, they could go for it, but at that point, while he's obviously better than Aiden O'Connell, money-wise, you might as well stick with Aiden, have a solid floor, no ceiling, and build around it completely.
Yeah, I kind of think that this team, you could drop a rookie quarterback in and be successful, but that's another reason to just keep Aiden O'Connell and continue building and then drop a rookie quarterback in there when the time is right. Yeah. New England Patriots, Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi. It kind of feels with Bill Belichick leaving, with Gerard Mayo being their new head coach. This tandem is both gone. And so I know a lot of people think the Patriots would draft a quarterback at three overall. I'm skeptical of that personally because I don't think the roster is quite ready for a quarterback, as we've seen with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. So I know you had fun when you had them moving up to get a quarterback at the end of the first round. Do you think that's a viable strategy, or do you think that maybe some of these other guys could be on their radar?
I think it's a bit of both. For them, I think they have to full reset the quarterback position. There's bad blood on both sides at that point. So you just got to get Mac out. Bailey, I don't think has any bad blood, but we've seen what Bailey Zappi is. You can keep him as a backup, but Mac has to go. At that point, the people that are going to be out there, I mean, like they're a team that obviously Russell Wilson's been linked to. I think that would be smart if they can get him for cheap, because they have cap room this year. Kill him. Yeah, but I'm saying to actually have relevant quarterback play, he might be the only option on this list that's viable. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing. But that, yeah, I think them either taking a quarterback at three or taking a top tackle, Marvin Harrison, trading up in the back of the first, taking a quarterback at 34, all are options, in my opinion. But to me, it can't be either of these two.
My new prediction, and this is what we're doing, is predicting. I think they're taking Joe Alt still. I'm going to roll with that. And I think that they're going to take Bo Nix in the second round. I think they're just going to sit tight, wait for Bo Nix, and kind of roll that out there. I think they could add a player like maybe Zach Wilson as a flyer. Drew Lock comes to mind as a player they might want to add as well. Something different from what they've had, for sure. I think they're going to reset it.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos starter next year is Mac Jones either, by the way. It'll be a cheap option, shot at it, doesn't work, go someone else next year when you actually have money.
That's fair, for sure. Here we have the Jets with Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, they're looking for a quarterback of the future, but I think Aaron Rodgers is close to a lock for their 2024 starter, right?
Yeah, there's just always a chance with Rodgers. He just decides in July he's done.
Yeah.
Especially with the Achilles. He was all about coming back, and then he realized that was not possible. So he's like, we're not in the playoffs. I'm not going to get hurt again. Screw it. So I do think he'll be back next year, but it's most likely his absolute last year and probably the last year for that entire staff and most of that team. They got one more shot at it, and hopefully Rodgers can be enough. But they need to bring in something else to be his backup for sure that can actually win a game.
Yeah. So he's said a few times that he plans to play at least two more years. Do you buy it?
I mean, there's chance, but that's what I'm saying. Like, he could just as easily play another 3 years as retire in a month. That's why it's they have to be on here because, yes, moving forward, their thought process is Rodgers are a quarterback for at least 1 year, maybe two, but you have to get something else in here. Even if you're not drafting this year, just bringing in a valuable backup, you got to do something.
I think middle round rookie as your new backup and kind of like the Aiden O'Connell route for the Raiders that worked out. Or, you know, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be available for someone. So maybe that's a route that one of these teams takes eventually. So Steelers, Kenny Pickett. I've had arguments about this with people. I think there's been a report that they're running it back with Kenny Pickett, and this like Mason Rudolph thing is simply because they're riding the hot hand. I think Kenny Pickett's probably upset about it. I heard he refused to be the backup and then denied refusing to be the backup. So it's kind of a weird situation here. A lot of Steelers fans want to move on. Randy, do you think they do, or do you think they run it back with Pickett?
They're running it back. When he got drafted, we sat on a live draft show and said verbatim, the Steelers are an organization that are going to give you ample chances. Kenny Pickett, even though we knew he wasn't that good then, and I do think there's been some improvement, but still shoddy play at best, they're going to give him another chance. And they might even the year after if he plays that same baseline because they're winning games with him, you know, almost in spite of him at times. But it's not his fault as well because Najee Harris played terrible most of the season. Jalen Warren was a little bit up and down. Receivers are yelling at each other, not playing. Freiermuth was out half the year. The line's still figuring it out. They got a good shot at fixing it this last year, and I think another year of retooling will be good for them. But he's getting hit a ton. No one's doing anything on that team, even though they got talent everywhere. You can't just put all the blame on him. It's just tough. In my opinion, he's easily back next year.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think Steelers fans are going to be upset about that. I think that's just reality.
It's the same fans that if the Steelers are 4-4, Mike Tomlin's the devil and should be fired. So I don't care what they think half the time.
That's true. All right, next group of them. Will Levis. I think the Titans have a path to getting an upgrade at quarterback. However, I think that their team is so devoid of talent, especially on the offensive line, that they kind of need to go that route and build and see what Levis is because he flashed some potential. So I would predict that he's their opening week starter next year.
Yeah, 100%. The only reason, they have a decision to make because he hasn't been great, hasn't been healthy, and then they're in a position where they could get a quarterback. That's why they're on here. But I was very torn between putting him here and the too early to tell.
Yeah. But
the draft position made me put him here.
Here's the thing. An idea that I had earlier today actually is, so Bobby Slowik seems to be the favorite to be the Titans head coach. By the time this airs, he might be already. Actually, no, he won't be because the Texans are still in the playoffs. Bobby Slowik could do a lot of really good things with JJ McCarthy. And so one of my crazy off the wall thoughts is that the Patriots actually trade for Will Levis. The Titans move on. They go get JJ McCarthy, who's probably a better fit for the Slowik system, though I think Levis can probably run that fairly well as well. It's just a thought that they, with those thoughts being in there, I think it's justifiable to have him on the decision time, though I do think it might be too early to tell. Like I said, the flashes were pretty good this year.
Yeah. But all second right. round pick, top 10 draft position for the team, six quarterbacks that are going to get drafted in the first two rounds this year.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. Falcons, Desmond Ridder. This seems to be over for Desmond Ridder. Yeah. What's your prediction for their starter week one?
I'm curious who the coach is going to be, but
that'll determine it, I think.
Past then, you got a ton of weapons. The line's paid for. You can put a veteran back there and be fine. So a lot of these people we're talking about is a top end option. Obviously, the favorite, the fan favorite, same as when there was a draft day, is Justin Fields going there. Obviously, I might have some allegiances elsewhere and hoping he goes there, but this would be a fantastic fit for Fields behind that line. He'd actually have time to throw the ball, and they have great running backs. They have good receiving options. They need another receiver, obviously, but they still could get a receiver in the first round, get an edge rusher in the first round, attack receiver in this day two. They have a lot of options here. It's just not going to be Ridder. Ridder's going to be a backup somewhere. He very well could get another shot and be, you know, ready to do it. I think he was given half a shot with a coach that wanted to play safe and only throw to backups. So I can't really blame him for how it's worked out there. I mean, he didn't rise to the occasion, but it's not all his fault.
For sure. I think he's their backup next year. I think he's in Atlanta because I just don't. It's tough to cut.
It's like a fresh start type situation.
Sure. And I mean, you'd have to then invest more into the quarterback position, right? So like, I guess I don't think Ridder's the type to be sour in the locker room if someone better comes along, like Justin.
No, but to me, like, there's a lot of teams like Vikings or the Rams that have an aging veteran, or the Jets, that would love to have Desmond Ridder as their backup. So while they spent fourth round capital, maybe third. Late third, I think they could get a fourth or fifth back for him, and you're trading the second for Fields in that case, probably, or trading or trying to pick the quarterback in the second round, trading up.
Yeah. I've been thinking about the Fields compensation. So I think the Falcons could do something like that. I think the Fields compensation is probably a 2025 pick because they're going to want a conditional on it. So I think it's probably going to be a 2025 second that can turn into a first for Justin Fields, if I had to guess. And so that means that you can attack edge rusher and attack wide receiver early, like you mentioned, and kind of put something really nice around Justin Fields. That's my prediction. I'm so 50-50 on the Bears. My prediction is that Justin Fields is the Falcons QB1. As of today, it'll change tomorrow. But
if flip flops, Kyler, he's their quarterback.
Yeah.
They have a chance to draft a quarterback this year if they really wanted to. I just think they're full in on Kyler. It's just he has been up and down. He has been injury prone. So for me, he has to stay on the decision time. They've given him big money. I think he has to prove himself the next year or two. But switching to the Bears right after, they're about to give him his fifth-year option and then trade him, most likely. But they flip-flop with their decisions. I keep flip-flopping. You keep Eberflus. It gives me thought that they're going to keep Fields. And then the more you look at it, the more you look at everything, it's like they really should go Caleb and just take the fresh start. But then the whole locker room wants Fields, and they wanted Eberflus, and they wanted Poles. So it's going to be tough. I mean, like I said with the Raiders, you have a whole locker room asking, saying, like, keep them or trade me. And I feel like this is close to the same situation. So it's so close for me.
It's legitimately 50-50. I have no idea which way the Bears are even leaning. I assume that they are leaning away right now. But I think if I had to guess, just watching Caleb Williams' film, I would guess that they lean that way and are kind of hoping that the leadership stuff checks out. On the other hand, some of Ryan Poles' press conference indicates that they are going to do everything they can to keep Justin Fields, and they're going to be looking for reasons not to move on. And so I really don't know. I want to say that the Bears are going to keep Fields because I think that's the most viable option forward, because I think the team still needs a lot. And dropping a rookie into a situation where the offensive line wasn't very good, obviously we're going to do a franchise fix episode here later this week. So stay tuned to the channel. Make sure you subscribe because we're going to be talking about this extensively. I'm trying not to say too much now
just because it's like there's so much to look at with this specific situation. But like you said, there's so much that needs help on this team that with the right offensive coordinator, you could do a lot. And he's not going to be asking for a ton if you wanted to extend him. You also don't have to extend him. You know, you could tell him, hey, we're going to do the fifth-year option, and then we'll go from there because you haven't even played a full season. We need to figure this out. And if they do trade back and keep Fields, they're going to have an extra first-round pick in that season, and they could trade up for the quarterback if they need to then, which could be Arch Manning or a bunch of other new guys, Aaron Nolan, just off the top of my head too. But just to try and put any names out there. But at least trading, you can fill all the holes. And if it's not Fields, if it's Fields, you pay him. If it's not Fields, you figure it out and the rest of the team's set. So,
yeah. I do want to mention the 2026 class looks good on paper. So, if that's the route that they choose to go and they just kind of go along that way.
It's next year, it's a decent quarterback class next year that could be, you know, bolted up with people growing, but both the next two classes along with this one are good quarterback classes. We'll see if they're talked about the same as, you know, Caleb and Drake May, but that's beside the point if you have two first round picks in both those drafts.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Lions, Jared Goff, he's their starter for 2024. So we can, you know, but there's a decision coming. His contract ends next year. He's going to be age 30, which sounds crazy because it feels like Jared Goff should be like 33, 34 at this point. What I would do if I were their GM is I would have found a way to get Anthony Richardson last year. I would take a time machine back and I would have done things differently. However, they didn't do that. What's that?
They got Hendon Hooker. It's the same, right?
Yeah, that's the same. I talked to a lot of Lions fans and I think they want a better path forward than Hendon Hooker even, which understandably so. I think Goff is probably their starter for a while. I think fans look at Goff the way that we used to look at Kirk Cousins before Kirk Cousins continued to get all of this money from the Vikings, from Washington first and then from the Vikings. So I think Goff's going to be their starter for the next like decade or half decade at least.
Yeah. And market value is currently $38.5 million. I think he gets more than that, but I think it'll be front loaded. I think the Lions would be smart to sign like a 2 or 3 year deal. I think Goff's going to be looking for a 5 year to make his money now before at age 33, it's going to be tough to sign a enormous contract. It just will be unless he's won a Super Bowl in that time. So we'll see how they play out, but I think it's obviously Goff for at least the next few years. If Hendon Hooker steps up and at his age 30 season and wants to take over in a couple years, he's not that old, but it's close.
Darn close. Yeah.
That's doable, but I think he'll be a high value backup for the future here. And Goff can really lead this team, especially if you continue to build, because this roster is pretty stacked, but they still have major holes, especially in the secondary. If you can keep upgrading everywhere else and keep the line dominant, you have two good backs. You need another receiver to really step up, but you've nailed a lot of these draft picks, and Goff has led you to the 3 seed.
Yeah. For what it's worth, Hendon Hooker just turned 26 last weekend. So
yeah, it's close.
He's closer to 30 than he is 20. So, but Goff, day one starter next year. Packers, Jordan Love, also 100% going to be the starter in 2024. This contract extension that he signed, that little 2 year thing, they got him more money than the fifth year.
It would have. With incentives and playoffs. For him, he's played well enough, made the playoffs. You know, a lot of bad play as well, but there's been a ton of injury on this team. So, and it's a young team. So you give him a little bit of credit for that. The line's retooling. So really for him, it's, are you just keeping this deal? Are you looking to nail an extension this offseason? Are you waiting one more year? But the deal ends next year. He made a lot of plays. I think you could get him for a cheap market value. You know, in 4 years' time, it'll be a cheap deal. But I think you could sign him to at least a four-year contract this offseason, an extension of what he has, so maybe three-year extension, and you'd look smart.
How much do you think he gets?
Market value is 43.
I don't think that's right.
Well, but that's my thing. So I think he'll probably get 47. I think it'll be a decent job. I don't think he gets to 50. Again, like we said, Tua is about 50. I don't truly think he's even proved himself to Tua's level yet, only because of time. Like, he's had one season. So
it's, that's fair.
I don't think you come out this Aussie and say, you know what, $200 million 4 years. Thanks, buddy. Like, it's just too much. You're a rebuilding team. But you could get close to that and front load the crap out of it, because you're going to need money down the road here with all these young players. So it's a good option, in my opinion. I think he gets 45 to 48, somewhere in there.
Yeah, and I was thinking 48.
We'll have, depending on who all signs this offseason, we'll be like, Jesus, he's getting that much, you know? But in 2 years, we'll be like, man, they're only paying him 45. If he continues to grow like this.
Yeah. His play down the stretch, fantastic. Top 10 level.
Yeah. He just has to play well in the first half of games.
Yeah. This is true.
Complete quarterback.
But day one starter next year. I guess question. So Rams, Matthew Stafford looked better than he has in a long, long time this year. Looked healthier. He's under contract through 2026. There is an out that year. He'd be 38. It's obviously time to start looking towards the future in the same way that the Packers did with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully Stafford's done before that, you know, before Rodgers was done in Green Bay. But do you think Stafford starts day one in 2024?
Yeah, unless he wants to retire. I mean, he has had some injury things the last few years, but he looks as good as he has. I mean, most of his career, like, he looks as good as the Super Bowl year right now. And they got more weapons right now. They're retooling the offensive line again, but when you don't have any money or draft picks, it's hard to do that. So they're trying to figure it out now. I think he's their quarterback for another 2 years. So I think they're another candidate. You know, we're going to keep saying Bo Nix's name or Michael Penix, but both those guys would thrive in this offense and this coaching scheme. Now, that's why you kind of have to draft him this year, so McVay can stay excited enough to do it, because he might be riding out with Donald and Stafford next year or something and retiring for 2 to 3 years and coming back refreshed, because he's obviously still so young. So he's easily going to have another coaching job, whether it's with the Rams or not. Not that he's going to get fired anytime soon. It's just he would retire. But I think Stafford's good for at least another year, if not two. I do think they take the out in 2026, though.
I think so, too. This is my favorite to land J.J. McCarthy, for what it's worth. I think sitting him behind Matthew Stafford, if he makes it there, my problem is the next team the Vikings also have this, like, we could take a quarterback now, develop them behind a good quarterback for a year at least. But I think Cousins has more time left. It's tough, though, coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can make the argument that maybe Stafford does have more time now.
Yeah, we're in a weird spot because we're just going to keep bringing up Penix, Nix, and McCarthy for these kind of teams. But to sit for a year, maybe two, under these two quarterbacks, I mean, they're going to absolutely thrive. And both these offenses with these coaches, it doesn't matter. Having a little bit of running ability with Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy, I think both coaches would love. But I think both coaches would be equally as happy with Penix to sit back and deal. So, obviously, they're going to work on a few things with him. But with the wide receivers for both these teams, any of those three quarterbacks, I think, could easily be a top 15 quarterback in 2 years.
Yeah, I think so. I think Kirk Cousins is the starter for the Vikings next year. I think Derek Carr is the starter for the Saints next year.
He's
got to be. Yep. Yeah, they don't really have another option just based on how his contract is structured, the way his bank account is set up. Seahawks, Geno Smith seems like a lock as well, despite Pete Carroll leaving and Shane Waldron leaving. I think
they have it out this year is the tricky situation. They just situation. Don't have
a path to a better quarterback, in my opinion.
No, but they're another one that's like, okay, like they could easily trade for Fields if he's available and cut Geno. You know,
that's a very good point.
They could try for Baker. They could go for Cousins if he's available. Like any of these teams could bring in Sam Howell, even though I don't think they're letting him go. I think they'll take a quarterback and have both. But the Seahawks are in truly a weird position that when I made this doc, didn't think they would be in because I thought they'd have their whole coaching staff back. But now that they do have the out this next year, if they have a better option for long term, I think they take it. But I agree with you that I don't think they have that option necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. Daniel Jones, Giants fans really want a quarterback in the top, whatever they're picking right now. Yeah. Six. I think they're sixth.
They wouldn't trade him.
They do. Do you think they move on from Daniel Jones? So the contract is structured to where they have an out after this year, and the out is like nothing. It's pretty much his deal ends after this year if they want it to. So taking a quarterback this year does make some sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the fans are right. They definitely should be trying to get Jane Daniels at any chance they can. And worst case, I mean, best case, Jaden Daniels is your starter. You trade away Daniel Jones for pennies, but you get half the money off the book, roughly. But worst case, you draft Jaden Daniels and Daniel Jones starts. Daniel Jones is a high-paid backup. Like, both of those are solid options for 1 year, and then boot him.
Yeah.
But
they're
in a weird spot. Like we said, there's three quarterbacks are, I'd say, 75% likely to go in the top three picks, and whether that's trade or all three teams sitting. So that's where they're in a weird spot. Are they going to trade with the Patriots?
No.
There's some bad blood there. Commanders aren't moving back. So they got to hope three quarterbacks don't go in the top three. Cardinals aren't taking a quarterback, and then they're sitting there with, who's at five right now?
Chargers
aren't taking a quarterback, so that's what you're hoping, or no one jumps you. That's their best case scenario, because unless now Robert Kraft wants to be nice, he's not giving that pick to them. And if they trade up for Caleb, the Bears aren't trading back and letting Marvin Harrison go. So
I think that the Giants trading up for Caleb is something that I haven't really considered enough. And it's something that's certainly viable for the Giants moving forward.
But if you're the Bears, you're full sending to get the trade from the Commanders or Patriots. And then you take whatever they're offering and move down and see what you can get to make up for possibly losing your top two options in the draft.
Yeah.
If you're trading the pick.
We have to stop talking about the Bears because we're going to hear soon anyway. So yeah. We'll table this. We'll talk about this. We're talking Friday. Yeah, I know. But I had a Bears comment. Like, it depends on how much difference they see in Marvin Harrison versus Adunze and Neighbors, which I think there will be some NFL teams who view them very closely because of the different skill sets and because of what I think Neighbors probably offers that Harrison doesn't, which is yak opportunities. I think there's a chance that they would be comfortable tearing down.
Yeah, but for the Bears, they have the yak receivers already. So
they do. They need Marv. I would really like
to have Marv. The Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Free agent this year. Spotrac has the value at $16.5 million, but over the cap has it at $33 million. I think that's more realistic. I think 16 would be a hell of a hometown discount. But mm-hmm. I think he's earned the 30 this year. I think they do kind of like a – I don't think they give him a one-year deal again. I think they give him kind of like a Daniel Jones three-year deal with a second year out.
And I think it's $40 million average. He was – I think he was good enough.
Bumping through all the teams, it's just tough. I think he can get it. But the pessimist in me is like, but if you get him for 30, you're going to. There'll be a small bidding war because he's played really well. But at the other point, though, I don't think he wants to leave. So not that he wanted to leave his first home. So
true. I think he's found
his groove again.
I think it depends on how this game goes that already happened after this airs that we haven't seen yet. We're recording a little
bit. Somehow. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think
Jalen Hurts nailed every play. It was insane.
I think the curveball is that Kirk Cousins doesn't go back to Minnesota. And then, that's a viable option for Baker as well, because I don't think they'd run it back with a rookie without Kirk Cousins in place.
That's going to be absolute chaos if that happens. And that's why I don't think we're talking about this, because if Kirk Cousins is free, like there's a ton that could happen.
He's the best available for what it's worth among all the quarterbacks in the league.
With technically Field second, I'd say. And Russell Wilson third?
I would say if I'm building a team, though, I'd probably take a chance on Justin before Kirk.
Just it depends where you're at.
An injury. But yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if a team like the Bucks, who think that they're close, also go after Kirk instead of Baker. But they're not close. They shouldn't do that.
I was going to say, they're not that close.
No, they're not that good of a team. Okay, lastly, Commanders, they're moving on from Sam Howell. They're probably bringing in his former backup to be the starter there. So it'll be the UNC quarterback room flipped. That's my assumption. Or the Commanders trade up for Caleb. Or Drake May goes first somehow, and Caleb Williams is the starter in Washington. Either way, I don't think Sam Howell is the starter week one next year.
Unfortunately, I think he played well at times, flashes, but too many picks, held on the ball too long behind this offensive line. I don't know. I thought the offense ran pretty well most of the year, but he didn't win enough games. He made too many mistakes. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Hope he gets another shot.
All right. So we made predictions. Obviously, there are a lot of different scenarios that can happen. So it could be chaos. It could be pretty chalk across the board where everyone kind of returns where we think they're going. Overall, exciting year, exciting offseason for quarterbacks. I think we're going to see a little bit of movement, especially the stuff at the first overall pick. I think that's fascinating. We'll talk about that more on our next episode of the Franchise Fix. We're starting with the Bears this week, so make sure you subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We'll be diving into that. We're going to have a ton of content coming out. Kevin's killing it with these videos as well. So, Randy, anything to add before we bounce out of here?
Hopefully the games today, as we record on Sunday, is actually exciting. Not depressing as yesterday's were. So
yeah,
hopefully there's a lot of talk about for other people for the next couple days.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for watching. Make sure you leave a comment. Let us know what you think your favorite team is going to do at quarterback. If there are questions about your quarterback, which, you know, there's a pretty high likelihood that if you clicked on this video that you're hoping to know what the options are for your team. So drop a comment. Let us know what you think. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for watching.